Off the Ball Rugby.
Really concerned about where the shape was going and where the club was going. I think you'll always have concerns. This player's not going to come out of Leinster in the next few years and say it was all amazing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hello all, you're very welcome along to a very special segment of Word on the Street. I'm here with Eve. How are you, Eve?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm here. I'm very happy to welcome the head coach of Ireland Women's Rugby League team, Maddie Kennison. How are you, Maddie?
Good. Nice to see you, Sue. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, nice to see you too. Thank you for coming on. Eve, you obviously don't know Maddie as well as I do. He has coached me across various stages of my absolutely riveting tag rugby career, which I like to bring up at every opportunity I can on Off the Ball. But he is on to bigger and better things now. So Ireland Women's League, obviously they were playing at the weekend against the Netherlands. They beat them 42-6 alongside, it was a doubleheader with the Ireland Men's A, who beat the Netherlands 30-0. Maddie, tell us, what was the significance of those games? Was it a bit of a friendly, or was it worth a lot more than that?
No, worth a lot more than that. It's our last game before we go to the World Series in Toronto. So having that game time was super important for the girls. It was the second time we've played the Netherlands, so they were after blood because it was a close game in the first one in Dublin in 24. I think we won 16-12, and that was actually to get through the next stage of qualifying. So they were super keen to host us and try and get one back, but it was a great performance from the girls, probably the best we've ever put up, and it's a really good stepping stone in a lead-up to a tough World Series in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, talk to us about that World Series. So you've got Nigeria on October 21st, and then either Canada or Fiji in the final decider, which will be a week later on the 26th. And the winner of that will gain the final berth in the World Cup next year. So how important is this World Series? I mean, Ireland have never been to a World Cup before in the women's game, so you're really standing on the cusp of something here.
Yeah, we are. And look, it's been a really exciting journey. We went into qualifying early last year against Wales, and unfortunately we were unsuccessful in winning that game. So it meant we had to win our next two, and that was not the Netherlands and Greece, the Netherlands at home, Greece away, which we did. And then this summer we had a friendly against France, who were already in the World Cup, and they really showed us the level we needed to get to. So we went back to the drawing board, and we trained really, really hard for this game against the Netherlands. And so rolling in, we've got a really good prep, I think, with a couple of games under our belt and a lot of training. Nigeria, we've watched a little bit of film, kind of unknown a little bit, really unorthodox style of play, but very powerful and strong team. So that'll be a tough ask for the girls on the Tuesday. And then if we are successful, we play the winner of Canada and France, which either, Canada's a home nation, been going very well in sevens and 15s, and a lot of those girls cross over. And then Fiji were pretty unlucky. I think they played Samoa or Tonga in their Pacific playoff, and they're unlucky to lose that. So this is their last bite of the cherry as well, and they're stacked. So I think they've got 11 or 12 NRLW players, great coaching staff, a really good lineage of rugby league heritage in Fiji. So, if we can get through that first one, Nigeria, it doesn't matter who we pull, Canada or Fiji, it'll be a really, really tough game.
And what has your training process looked like kind of in the past few weeks and months? Has it been mainly based in Ireland and getting kind of all of these girls who maybe play different disciplines as well together? What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been really tricky. Being that rugby league's so small in Ireland, we don't have a huge pool of players to choose from. And being that I'm involved in tag and touch rugby league, I have a lot of friends in rugby. I go to a lot of different games, a lot of different codes, even GAA, and I pull players from all over. So in our squad, we've got GAA players, hockey players, tag, rugby players, soccer players, players that, might have finished their career in their other sport or just wanted to try something new. And when I was back in Australia there, Christmas just gone, I did an open training session for heritage players based in Australia. So we have five of them travelling over, so they'll meet us in Canada.
Oh, wow.
So they've been getting video footage, game plans and strength and conditioning workouts and all those things from our coaching staff, but also have been playing a very, very high level of rugby league down under, so they will only strengthen us when they arrive. And then the base of my squad here are in Ireland, and we have a lot in the UK as well, players that have immigrated and play over there, players that their parents or grandparents may have immigrated there and have that heritage, they play in the Women's Super League. So a lot of talent across the squad. Training-wise, we base ourselves out of Ireland. I mean, I'm trying to bring the game to Ireland as much as I can. People that know me best probably are sick of me talking about the sport and trying to convince people to get involved. So
you've never asked me, Maddie. You've never asked me to play. What's that about?
I think I have. We might have had a couple of drinks when I did.
Sorry, continue there.
Keeping the trainings at home is super important because I think it shows that, you know, the young women, the young athletes of Ireland that might be in any other sport that see they can play domestic, they can then play for Ireland and trainings are in Ireland. It makes it very accessible and I think is the way forward to growing the sport internally.
You've been involved with the Dublin Exiles since 2021, which is when the women's game was set up in Ireland. Is that right? How much growth have you seen then, even in the past 4 years? Has there been a big, I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of work in the background to try and grow the game, but have you seen that kind of pay off as well?
I've definitely seen a payoff in the sense that the Irish team before I took over was very heavily influenced by the UK-based heritage players and purely because they play more rugby league and a higher standard. But over the years of coaching in the Exiles and being involved in rugby league, the competition hasn't expanded. I mean, we were at three teams at the start. We went down to two, came back to three, had a potential for four. We had three this year and some quite competitive games. But we are getting more players into those current teams that we have that are being influenced by friends or seeing the opportunities to play for Ireland. So the calibre of the games and the quality of players has definitely increased that I've seen over the last couple of years, which is really positive. And I think for the girls that are in the squad now and the opportunity that we have, if we are successful in Toronto and we get that maiden berth in the World Cup, I think, you know, that will just blow the sport wide open. You know, it'll give us a footprint, you know, on the world stage in rugby league. I think it'll give us a bit of weight to carry at home and maybe bring new people to the sport and hopefully get a bit more exposure like, you know, we're getting here, which is great. And thank you very much for it. So I think that's the next step is really being recognised as being a team that can compete. And then I think players that see that within Australia, within Ireland in other sports might, you know, venture over and join the rugby league movement.
Yeah, before we ask you more about kind of the growth of the game, I do want to pick up, you said that in Canada there's a bit of a overlap between union and league. Will we see some of the girls who participated in this World Cup final maybe playing in the league team, or do you think they come from kind of lower levels of the union game over there?
Yeah, I think we could see a couple of players that played in the Rugby World Cup.
Wow.
At the moment, the 35-player squad for each nation has been named. So you're allowed to pick 20 to play in the tournament from that 35. And I believe there are some of those players that might have been selected in that 35. Whether they're released from their rugby contracts or not, it's tomorrow that the 20 from each nation will be released. So very interested to see what Canada do with that. I mean, there's a couple of players that played for Dublin City Exiles who have returned home to Canada. Two girls who played at Railway Union within the rugby, Maddie and Danny. So I see their names are in the squad. So they're rugby converts. There's a few from the Canada Sevens that have been involved that might not have been involved in the last setup but have been in the past. So they have a very, very strong squad of athletes from all codes over there. So tomorrow we'll tell to see what kind of team they'll put out for the Toronto tour.
Okay, interesting.
It seems to me a very kind of international and diverse discipline in terms of you have lots of people who maybe would play, as you were saying, hockey or GAA or soccer coming to play rugby league. But then you also have kind of people whose grandparents are Irish or are now representing Ireland in rugby league. Do you think now with the waves of Irish emigration to Australia, where it's so big, that maybe, you know, people will always, a lot of Irish people tend to go over and then come home. Do you think people will be bringing rugby league back to Ireland kind of in a way that you've brought a lot of different disciplines here?
I hope so. I mean, if you're a female athlete and you're going to Australia, there's so many opportunities for you. I mean, we've seen the success of Sarah Rowe, who left from Mayo football and went down as playing for Collingwood in the professional women's AFL. We've got, you know, some of our girls have gone down and are involved in the rugby league system down there. Trisha Doyle, Erin Cole, Stephanie Carroll have all immigrated from Ireland down and playing in quite high-level rugby league. And the women's rugby league, the women's AFL, the women's rugby in Australia is, it's really well respected. They're really well paid. They're really well looked after. And it is a professional setup for those girls. So it's a great pathway. For those that might have been, you know, athletes here and want to go down and experiment. And I think if their time is up, you know, that their visa expires or they've spent their time and they're due to come home and hopefully they've seen the impact that rugby league can have on young women and athletes, I hope they will. And I hope they bring that experience back because I've seen it firsthand. You ask anyone of your Irish friends who've been down there how big the women's rugby league game is and women's sport in general. Yeah, hopefully they have the passion when they return and they can help build the sport here at home.
Talk to me, you talked about AFL there. Talk to me about the crossover with rugby league and other sports, because as you said, you're going to GA games, you're going to rugby union. Yeah. I know you've pulled a lot of rugby union players. I mean, I saw on your squad list, there's at least three players I played with back in my day in Trinity. So, and we're actually going to be chatting to Molly Boyne later as well, which is insane. But how does that, is that crossover difficult? Have you found that they're kind of adjusting well to league? Because when I've been reading about it, it seems to be that they're like two completely different games.
Yeah, they are two completely different games. And to touch on the differences, I would use a scrum half. So scrum half in rugby is still at the base of the ruck and distributing the ball and deciding which way the play is going to go. And does the same in rugby league, but where in rugby, let's say a scrum half might make 5 or 10 tackles a game if they're forced to. They're not really involved in the defensive aspect where, you know, the scrum half, the dummy half, the hooker, we call them in rugby league, will make anywhere between 30 to 50 tackles a game. Because they're smack bang in the middle. So the differences there in roles, people see similarities, but come over to rugby league, they're quite different, you know, where our second row position, we call, is on an edge, is more like your outside or inside centre role. Fullback's very similar. Wings are very similar. You know, a 10 in rugby is a 7 and a 6 in rugby league. So there's a lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences. In the conversion of sport, honestly, in the last year, I've found the GA girls so much easier to coach into rugby league than the rugby girls, purely because they don't have any rugby bad habits. They don't have any bad posture or positioning before they make tackles. They don't have their defined lines on how they should run plays. They're just athletes. They're tough athletes. They can catch a ball anywhere within their 1-2 metre space. They've got great feet. They've got great hand-eye coordination. For instance, Alice Fitzgerald, a young girl who works for us in the business, she also plays GAA for Emmett's Brain, is a quite very good GAA player. She came over last year. She was nervous, knew nothing about rugby league, didn't know how to tackle. She played a little bit of tag, and within 3 or 4 months, she made her debut against the Netherlands, was almost player of the match, then played again in Greece. Again, very unlucky not to get player of the match with great post-contact meters and stuff, purely because she's just athletic. And coming into the blank canvas, with all the athletic attributes, with none of the bad habits. Now, not to say that all rugby girls are like that. Molly Boyne's a great example. She doesn't have any bad habits. She came in very open-minded with a really, really good skill set and a great base to work from. She's a great defender, really positive, great ball skills, and just so open to learning. And you can see that in her development over the last two games she's played. I mean, I think the rugby girls are faster to advance to the rugby league kind of IQ, but the GAA girls don't take any bad habits with them and get to a more comfortable stage quicker just with their athleticism and their you know, ability to adapt to ball sports, I think.
That's so interesting. And how do you see rugby league keeping these athletes from various sports? Because obviously I presume they're playing now in what is maybe a down season for the women's union game anyway. I'm not too sure about the GA. But how do you keep them playing league in order to grow the game in Ireland?
Yeah. I think Molly will be able to answer that better than I will.
I'll ask her, don't worry.
Yeah, because, you know, and not blowing smoke up my own, but when the girls come over and they play and they enjoy it, a lot of them don't want to go back to rugby. A lot of them want to continue, you know, and you know, the interest from players that might have played a little bit of rugby league, have then jumped on a plane and gone down to Australia to chase a rugby league dream. I think the sport for a player is more enjoyable. You have way more involvements. There's no downtimes with lineouts or slow rucks or scrums. It's ball in play continuously. So for an athlete, and for an athlete coming from rugby that might only had three or four involvements with the ball, a couple defensively in the game, you're tripling that in a game of rugby league straight away. So I think they really do enjoy it. And it's proved in the last couple of weeks where Molly and a lot of our rugby girls have returned to their clubs, Amy Clark and Emma Kelly, and all those girls have returned really to Belvo and Railway, but have like decided to either play a little bit of the game or not play the game to then make training for placement for college. So, but I mean, we're going to very important games in the GAA system to play her rugby league and play for a country. So I think we've got a good system. We've got a great staff. We've got a really good bunch of girls. And, you know, they're all enjoying their footy. And I think that's what keeps them coming back.
I wanted to ask again, just in terms of the growth of the game. The RLI is a member of Sport Ireland. And with the recent budget 2026 being announced, do you have any inkling as to if you're going to get increased funding from this government? Or is that kind of someone else's purview?
Yeah, it's someone else's role. It falls on the chairman, Jim Reynolds. I was actually on the phone to him the other day, just finalising a few things for a tour for Toronto. And I think we will increase our budgets for the next cycle. I mean, our wheelchair program has been doing extremely well. We have the youngest participants in our wheelchair. We've been successful in our last two tournaments. We've made the World Cup in the Wheelchair Rugby League. The women's, we've been successful in the World Series. The men's are starting a new cycle. They won't be playing the World Cup, but they've got some international tests coming up against Wales. So there's a lot happening. Our 16s and 18s were successful in the Four Nations earlier this year. So there's a lot happening on the international stage for rugby league. And I think our budget will increase. I couldn't tell you the figures, but after speaking to Jim, I think he was quite positive that from what we got last year to this year, I think that will increase, which we'll help grassroots footy. We'll have more equipment for clubs. We'll get us more pitch space. And in turn, you know, we'll get more people playing the game and hopefully feeding into the international stage and helping Ireland become successful in rugby league.
Because with the men's team not being able to participate in the next World Cup, was there any sort of worry that that would affect the women's team? Or is there any worry that it would impact negatively on rugby league as a whole in Ireland, or is it just a stumbling block that the guys are going to get over?
Yeah, I think it was a concern at the start because Ireland had been involved in 2017, 2021, the previous World Cup and 2024, 23. So they've been involved in the last three and possibly more in the past. So I think it was a bit of a shock to the organisation. But I think we can overcome that, you know, as an organisation and get back onto the international stage in the men's. But it didn't affect the women's. The women's is quite new. So we offered, you know, all the invitations that all nations are in the women's game to participate in the European challenge to make a World Cup and all of that kind of stuff. So we're in contention for this World Cup, which is the World Cup cycle of 2026, and we're also in contention for the World Cup cycle of 28. So I think after those two cycles are finished, potentially the men's can renew their position at the table for the men's World Cup, and hopefully Ireland, you know, we do enough and we perform well enough that we can continue to have a seat, an opportunity to make the World Cup past the 26 and 28 World Cup as well.
Maddie, I just want to ask you lastly before we wrap up. You're obviously from Australia, where it's a hotbed for rugby league, and they just announced this, I think last year, that it's the biggest sport in Australia, that this last final that happened last weekend was the biggest grand final that they've ever had in Australian sport. And they've obviously got the opening games of the NRL now happening in Las Vegas, where they're trying to grow the sport. And they've spoke about a lot of success in that regard. Do you see rugby league as becoming that global sport that they're obviously trying to make it? Because rugby union is still so strong in so many traditional rugby countries. Do you see it realistically happening, you know, not maybe in the next 5-10 years, but at some point that rugby league could reach the same levels?
Yeah. It's really interesting, actually. You know, growing up in Australia, my father played rugby league for Wests, and I played rugby league and went to rugby league school and played at rugby league clubs. And so it's just part of our DNA, and especially the area we all grew up in, you know. So, but over that time, from leaving the game, returning to the game as a player, as a coach, I've seen glimpses of that. I remember when the Toronto Wolfpack got a big funding and they were going to join the English Super League and go over every week for games, and that was the start of something big. And the New Zealand Warriors in Auckland have been so successful in the past years, and now they've got a women's team as well, have been quite successful. Australia is expanding. We're very dominant on the East Coast, but we're expanding over to Perth. There's a plan to expand to PNG. They'll play as well. So there's expansions in the Southern Hemisphere. I know rugby league is very small in South Africa, but a good friend of mine, Gilbert, he's pushing very hard to try and get involved and tap into the South African sevens and develop rugby league from there. And the UK game is quite strong. I mean, the Super League is booming at the moment, both in women's and men's. France and Catalans, there's a lot of nations getting involved. And I think with COVID, we were one of the only sports playing globally. Because Australia wasn't affected as much as other nations and other countries, we were allowed to continue to play our sport, NRL. Now, there weren't crowds allowed there, so there were empty stadiums, but the NRL did such a great job in supplying, atmospheric noise for the players so it wasn't a dead quiet stadium, streams and availabilities for people to watch, and I think that's how it hit the American market, that Americans love their sport no matter what shape or size it comes in, and nothing was happening during COVID, so they watched rugby league. Hence the development of the Las Vegas opener, and the Americans are still watching, and that's the rating we got for the grand final. I mean, I sat up here, in my house in Wicklow and watched it, and I'm sure a lot of Americans did the same, that they've continued to follow rugby league from that COVID period where they had nothing else, and now they see it in Vegas. So it's on the rise. I don't know if it'll ever compete with the global rugby. You know, it's so strong in Europe. I had no idea until I moved over from Australia that rugby is so strong in Europe. And you've got the likes of the powerhouses of South Africa and New Zealand and Australia. Because when I left Australia as a young man, it was still Australia and New Zealand. You know, it was us, you know. Yeah, England would put their hand up. But now, Ireland is a powerhouse and France is a powerhouse. And, so I don't know if it'll make it into those countries as big, but it's definitely on the rise globally, where when I played and surely when my father played, and it wasn't. It was definitely, New Zealand played a little bit, England played, and Australia. But it's on the growth. It's on the rise. And I hope that in the 28 World Cup they expand again for more teams, because the women's is 8 or 10 teams. The men's has been decreased as well. And I know it's for the quality of games, but also I think it impacts nations like Ireland or Chile or South Africa or nations that might just be new to rugby league. And if they can get onto an international stage in a World Cup, it might promote growth. So hopefully in 28, we can see the expansion globally for the World Cup, more teams, and that might help with rugby league expanding into other nations. And fingers crossed, it can compete against rugby, because it's a much better game, lads. It's only 13 on, it's faster, it's more ball in play. Nah, look, that's my dream. I'm a rugby league man through and through, so hopefully I see that expansion globally. It'd be great.
Yeah, no, it's the classic. You can't see it, you can't be it. We saw the same with the Women's Rugby World Cup this past World Cup series. But we'll be watching anyway, and we hope for a very successful World Series, and we can't wait to see how the girls get on in Canada. And we wish you the very best of luck, Maddie, and all the girls.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. Really, really appreciate it. Really excited. And, again, thanks very much, guys, for giving us the time to chat about it.
Not at all. Thank you. Yeah, let's go, Ireland. See you now. Thanks. All right, welcome back to Word on the Street. I've just been with Eve chatting to the head coach of Ireland Women's Rugby League, Maddie Kennison. Now I'm here with Rachel. How are you, Rachel?
Hey, Susanna, how are you?
I'm good. And we are delighted to be joined with two of the Irish players. We've got Molly Boyne and Storm Cobain. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great. And Storm, am I right in saying you are the captain of the rugby league team this year?
At the moment, yeah. I was on Saturday anyway.
Sorry, say that again?
I was on Saturday anyway.
Okay, it's still yet to be confirmed going into the World Series, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just surveying his options and then he'll let us know.
Keeping you on your toes, I'm sure. Molly told me, Storm, that you have played every game for Ireland since the women's team was set up, which, with a bit of Googling, told me was in October 2021. Now you guys are standing on the cusp of a World Cup qualification. How does that feel for you?
Yeah, obviously, whenever I first joined the team, it was sort of like an unknown entity. Like, we didn't really know how it was going to be. We didn't really know how far we were going to get. And the World Cup was actually supposed to be in France this year, and then France pulled out of it. So we'd actually qualified. Oh. And then because France pulled out of the World Cup, we've had to go through this whole other qualifications, process to get back into it. So I feel like we've gone around the world for a shortcut, really.
Yeah, mad. And how, I know you play over in the UK as well, but how long have you been playing league?
I've been playing rugby league since May 2021. Okay. But I've been playing rugby. I grew up playing rugby union. Obviously, I'm from Northern Ireland, from the accent. So I've been playing rugby league since rugby union since I was about 12, I think. So 15 years of rugby, but yeah, only four years of rugby league.
Okay, and I'm sure we'll come on to ask Molly the same question, but what encourage you to make the switch then 4 years ago?
COVID, actually. Rugby league was the first rugby back after COVID. I was sick of just training and not playing matches and just getting a bit fed up of going through the motions and not having any competitive fixtures. So a few of the girls on my union team said, you know, we're going to these trials at Bedford Tigers. You know, you should think about going. I was like, oh no, I'll be terrible. I've never even watched rugby league. Like, I know nothing about the sport. Didn't even know that there was two codes until I came over to England for university 2017. And then people were talking about rugby league and I was like, what are you talking about? There's no such thing. So the switch was quite fast and quite dramatic, but I'm quite pleased that it's worked out for me in the long run.
And are you still playing both or just the league now?
Just the league now. I moved up. So I used to live in Luton. That's where I started teaching and lived there for 3 years. I played both whenever I was living there. And then with the Rugby World Cup coming up, I decided, look, I wanted to give myself the best chance to get into the Irish squad for that. So I moved up to Manchester to focus completely on rugby league, and I've been playing with Lee Leopard since then. So the league time, like season, I guess, is from about April till October, and we get about 6 weeks off before we get into pre-season. So it's a full-time league.
Okay, we're going to come back to your kind of game over in the UK, but Molly, I have to ask you, obviously you've only very recently made the switch. Has it been a similar experience of just like a rapid kind of conversion?
Yeah, I kind of started training for the first time in May, then played my first game in July, and then the game of the weekend. So I've had two rugby league games, and I've really enjoyed them so far. It was kind of a case of a couple of the girls who I play union with encouraged me to go down and give it a try for the open sessions for the Irish team, and really enjoyed it. Very physical and a good way to kind of apply your physicality in the same way as you do in union, and kind of the ball skills are all transferable. But as Storm said, it's a case of, like, you know, learning the rules and figuring out what you can and can't do. And, you know, I love rucks and rugby union, and unfortunately there's none in league. So trying not to do anything stupid there, but really enjoying it so far. Really like getting on great with the girls, and it's great to just, you know, learn a new sport and kind of throw yourself in the deep end. So it's been great.
What do you think is the hardest skill to transfer over, or maybe to let go of?
I would say probably not running to support somebody in a carry and like kind of anticipating a ruck. And probably I'm a chop tackler, kind of grab for the ankles in union, and you kind of need to, you know, start higher and come down to kind of protect legs in league, so it's a bit more upright. So, you know, kind of adapting to tackle on the ball and then working to control the body as well is a change, where I'd be really, you know, my first thought would be snatching it at ankles in union. So I think that just a change of the mindset, really, of how you're going to play the game and how you're going to approach contact is the biggest difference, I think.
I think the hardest thing as well is in league, obviously, you got to lie on top of them. In union, it's very much roll away as fast as you can. So that switch is quite difficult to get your head around.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching a video kind of explaining the rules of league, and it was saying that you don't have a ruck. And this guy was explaining it as like a ruck just looks like a giant bed, giant mess of bodies. And it pretty much is. But then in league, it's for someone coming from a rugby union background, it's actually quite difficult to understand why the hell these people are wrestling on the ground for 10 seconds before they all just get up and keep playing. So there's definitely, I'd say, a confusing element to trying to catch up on all the rules. But Molly, obviously you captained Leinster in this season's Interpros, and that's kind of finished up now. You've obviously gone back to club, I'm sure, and yeah, this has allowed you time, I'm sure, to kind of explore rugby league. But have you thought at all about how you're going to balance the two alongside each other?
I suppose that's kind of going on at the moment. When I first, you know, went down to join the league trainings, I wasn't really sure where I was going to end up. But with the World Series coming up and the opportunities that brings, after the Leinster campaign finished up, I just kind of had a long, hard look at myself to decide what my priorities were going to be for the next while. And, you know, with the World Series in Toronto in 2 weeks' time, I decided I want to put my best foot forward for that. So there have been some sacrifices in terms of not playing some of the union games that are going on at the moment. We've just started the AIL season. So when we're in the Netherlands at the weekend, my club team had a game as well. So it's just a case of, you know, I was trying to be as open and honest with the coaching staff in my union club and with Matty, with league as well. So there will be games when we're away as well. But I think the opportunity coming up is too incredible to pass by or to jeopardize in any way. So it's a juggling situation, and one that you know, took a bit of time and consideration, because, you know, I've been very committed to my rugby union team for a long time. So I think everybody has been very understanding about my commitments now. So it's great to have the opportunity to do both, and really for this month, it's all rugby league.
How do you guys feel going into this World Series? We were chatting to Matty, and he was obviously saying that it's a little bit unknown. I know Ireland have played Canada before, but with Nigeria, there's not a lot of footage out there. That's obviously your first fixture. How does it feel as players going into this?
Yeah, like you said, it's a bit of an unknown. I think the weekend's match against the Netherlands has really given us a confidence boost going into that. I know in myself, I felt really good coming off that pitch. It was the most fun I've had playing rugby in a while. So I think if we can carry that into this World Series, we'll be in good stead. We just need to front up, I think. And we know Nigeria are going to be a really physical team, so it's bringing that physicality to match it as well.
And obviously, if you're based over in the UK, Storm, how often are you training as an Irish team together?
They had two sessions before the Netherlands. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make either of those. Our league season had finished the week before those sessions, and I'd booked already to go away, because obviously we get our fixtures for the season, and it's sort of, you don't go away at all until that's over. So I booked to go away those two weekends. So I missed both of them, unfortunately. But those have been our only two sessions since the France match in July, I think. And if they haven't, the sessions have conflicted with fixtures that we've had for club in the UK, because obviously our league season is very different to the league season in Ireland. So it's a bit of a balancing act, really.
Yeah, girl's got to have her holiday as well, in fairness. And in terms of like the upcoming games now in Canada, are you funding your own flights for that?
Yeah, we are, unfortunately. I'm quite fortunate that I've been captain for Lee this season. So I got invited to speak at a captain's run event that was happening at the stadium for Lee Leopards. And, you know, it was brought up that we were having to fund our own flights, and really, really grateful that a company here, Structura, have sponsored those flights for me. So they've covered those. So I'm not out of pocket, but I know a lot of the other girls are. And when your flights are over a grand, and you're having to take time off work to go out there as well, you know, that's a big commitment, and it's a big financial impact as well.
And all the kind of flights back and forth for training, I know Maddie was saying that a lot of the players are now based in Ireland, which is great for kind of growth of the game, but I presume there's still a lot of people coming from the UK. Are they paying for flights across for training and that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And when we played France in July, I've had to fund those flights as well. So, and then any like car park that you've, you know, you drive to the airport early in the morning. So I've got to park my car at the airport to then get a flight. I'm really thankful that, like, are really fortunate that my family all still live in Ireland. I'm the only one that's left. So where other UK-based girls have to fly in and they've got to figure out a way to get from the airport to training or figure out a way to get from the airport to matches, I fly to Belfast and then my mum's my taxi. It's like old times, back to when I was
like, my mum's still my taxi as well.
Yes, but like I said, all of that's self-funded. Any flights for training, self-funded. Food while we're over, that's self-funded. Yeah, like when we played Netherlands on Saturday, flights and accommodation was self-funded. Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Do you think, if you qualify, if you manage to win this World Series now in October and make it to a World Cup, do you think that would have a big impact on not only media attention, but then potential funding from, I know you get some from Sport Ireland, but maybe sponsors as well?
I'm hopeful that it will. I'm hopeful that it'll bring attention to us and how successful we have actually been. You know, as a team that's only been set up for 4 years, to make it into a World Cup, like, that's phenomenal. I don't think there's a lot of countries in the world that could say that. So I'm really hopeful that, you know, if we do get into the World Cup, then we can get the backing of local and national companies.
Yeah, I think it's all about kind of, you know, media presence as well. We've seen, like, with the Rugby World Cup for Union, like, the more that's out there, the more that people are aware. And I think even just the post that you guys made through Off the Ball to kind of ask people questions about rugby league got shared with everybody that I know who plays here. So it's just about kind of raising awareness, and the more people who know about the great things that are happening, the more they can support them, because if they don't know about them, they can't possibly engage with it. So, you know, the performances then kind of give opportunities for that too.
Yeah, you need a few TikTok stars as well. You need Nana McGann and Eve Higgins on your team.
That's it. I think I can think of a couple of people we'll nominate for that job. So we'll get back to you on that.
Perfect. I'll look out for it.
And as well as the media coverage, obviously that'll do huge things for the game. What else do you think can be done to help grow rugby league in Ireland? Because as you said, with those posts that we put up, the response we got was astounding. You know, people are passionate about it here, but we don't seem to be seeing that in playing numbers.
Yeah, I think from like my very early knowledge of it, I know that there's the three teams in Ireland that are playing from a women's perspective, and then I think there's an extra team from the men's perspective. But really the most consistent teams playing are the Dublin City Exiles and the Galway Tribes. So they would play each other back and forth over the summer, with the Banbridge Broncos also playing a game or two. But I think from a numbers perspective, they maybe struggled a little bit more. So I think it's just getting more formal games in place and the opportunity to kind of play each other more consistently in a meaningful competition would help with engagement from that perspective. Because, you know, if there's games scheduled and then they don't end up happening, it can kind of discourage people a little bit. So just kind of, you know, getting behind those games and behind those clubs as much as possible will feed then more nationally too.
I think it's tricky. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think it's tricky in Ireland, like, even whenever I was living down south in Luton, the balance that you've got to have between union and league, it's quite difficult to get that balance. And it works whenever you don't have a long league season. You've got a long union season, so you play league in the off-season and in pre-season, and that's fine, it works. It's whenever those start to overlap that it becomes difficult. Mm. So, you know, like up here, up in Manchester, there's not a lot of people that play both codes just because the season's so long and because you've got such a big league. You know, like the Super League has 8 women's teams in it, and then the Championship has, I think it's 10 or 12. So, you know, there's a lot of teams there that takes a lot of time. Whereas whenever you keep it to 3 teams in Ireland, I think that's why you've got quite a lot of people who play dual codes over there. It's quite a short league season compared to the union season. So people just play it as like a summer fun sport and fitness.
Do you see rugby union being a realistic feeder for league in Ireland? Because as you said, people will play league for a bit of crack and then go back to, you know, their serious sport, which is rugby union. And we had, when we put that Instagram post up asking people, is there space for rugby league in Ireland? We had some comments saying that, like, no, where are they going to get the players from? So I wonder, what do you guys think, like, from your experience, is it realistic that you can convince girls to come over from union or Gaz, we heard Maddie talking about earlier, and stick at the sport?
I think so. I think we saw it a lot. We see it a lot with rugby union, with girls coming from different sports like Gaelic football and stuff, and especially rugby sevens. Like, if you have athletic ability and, you know, you have ball skills, they can generally transfer. And, you know, learning a new sport or a new skill is something that kind of comes inherently to people who have been involved in sports for their whole lives. So I think, like, it's definitely something that can transfer. And I think it's just an open-mindedness from people that, you know, straying outside of the one sport that you maybe would compete in regularly isn't a bad thing. It opens up opportunities to develop new skills and would probably better you in your primary sport of choice. And you never know, you might actually enjoy one more than the other. So I've really enjoyed the last couple of months of playing league, and I don't think that they have to be in opposition with each other. I actually think they transfer really well. And we've a lot of girls who would have played GAA as well, even who play with me in union and then also play in league, and they just end up being fantastic under the high ball. You know, they've got great pace, they've got great ball skills. So it's all transferable, really.
Do you think there's space for both to exist at the same time, like have the union season and then the rugby league season maybe during the summer? Or is the hope that it'll get to a stage where they're both so big that they're kind of their own entities?
I'll answer that because I feel like that's an Irish-based question.
Yeah, and I guess I'm so fresh into it that I don't really know any different from what's happening now. Like, you know, I think if we can develop what's going on during the summer and develop that league, it'll really encourage people to participate. I think the rugby union season and kind of commitment of players will always be kind of there in the background. But I think if we just kind of focus on the main thing of developing what we have and see where it gets to, that's probably the first step along the way. And then, you know, if it gets to the point where, you know, rugby league is competing with rugby union, then that's probably a good thing. And we've done a good job in what we have set out to do. So you can kind of cross that bridge and worry about it when you come to it. But putting in place what needs to be in place for league to thrive here is really the first step.
Yeah, Molly, go ahead, Storm.
Sorry, I'm a big believer in, like, success breeds success. So if we can go out there and be successful and be shown as being successful, get that out into the Irish, like, community and public and the rugby communities as well, then, you know, you're going to get little girls that are like, oh, well, I want to be like Molly Boyne and I want to play like her. And they're going to join those rugby league clubs to play rugby league like Molly Boyne, do you know? So I think it all goes back to that social media presence again, doesn't it? You know, if we're successful and we get it out there that we have been successful, then that's just going to push it on even further.
Yeah, and obviously, Molly, you're still figuring out which one you're swinging towards. But for you, Storm, why did you choose to stay with league?
The main reason at the beginning was to get into the World Cup. That was something that I really wanted to push for. And then when I actually sat back and thought about it, I enjoyed league more. I think it suited my style of play more. The hard lines, the big tackles, the running hard, the, like, just tackling hard. I wasn't a big fan of rucks, you know, even though I was a flanker whenever I played. Rucks were just sort of like this mess on the floor. I preferred the cleanliness of being able to stand up and play the ball. So yeah, like I said, it just suited my style of play more and I enjoyed it more. So I just decided to stay with it.
Do you foresee a time when you won't have to go over to the UK or Australia in order to play rugby league at this high level, that Irish players will be able to play at home?
I foresee a time where the Irish league gets stronger and bigger for sure. I think, like, even in England, the NRLW is seen as the pinnacle. You know, the girls are always going to want to go to Australia to play rugby league because that they're seen as being the best of the best. And you can see that whenever Australia played England in Vegas this year. You know, you just have to look at that scoreline and you can see that they are obviously the best players in the world at this sport. I think the sport is doing a lot to make it stronger across the globe, really. Not just these like home nations, but you know, Scotland has a team now. Wales obviously have a team. Ireland have a team. England have a team. I just the growth of the sport, even in the 4 years that I've played it, it's definitely grown a lot. So I'm really hoping that the sport in Ireland can get bigger.
Yeah, 90-4 was that result between Australia and England in Las Vegas earlier this year, which is massive and I think highlights the fact that there is still some catching up to do. But we're so excited for you guys heading to Canada and we'll be following your journey all the way and we wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye.